Good evening and welcome back to the latest episode of the Magicast. I'm your host, Scott Monroe. Welcome back to a second episode of Retro Roma. Well, this episode, after the 2002-2003 sojourn down memory lane last week, we are going back. Actually, we're going forward, but we are going back, if you catch my drift. We are rewinding back to 2007-2008. Where for Roma, it was actually quite a stellar campaign. They won two domestic trophies, got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, were minutes away from winning the league title, but were done by a Roberto Mancini side in the rain against Parma, and was Zlatan Ibrahimovic scoring two, half fit for Inter away at Parma, which denied Roma a famous last day win, but they did draw 1-1 away at Catania. But we are talking about this epic 2007-2008 season. With me again, I've got Imran. How are you, Imran?
I'm good, thank you.
I will ask you this again after last week. How is Ramadan going?
It's going good, thank you. Thanks for asking again.
No. I like to ask. Broken fast?
Yeah. Same as last time.
Feel good. So 2007-2008, Imran. A stellar year. A stellar win. I'm going to stop using that S word. A memorable win in the Champions League, which I spoke to you on WhatsApp the other day, which included a special win at the Bernabeu, which we'll talk about later. But 2006-2007, Roma finished second.
Yes.
And the seeds were planted for this season with how many points? Was it 20-plus points behind Inter, who were runaway leaders because of Calciopoli and all what happened?
Yeah.
But the seeds were planted. Yeah, the seeds were planted with this team, which was moulded into Luciano Spalletti's team, which was his third season. And I think between 2006 and 2008, this was one of the best sides that he had at Roma, and probably was one of the best teams to watch in Italy, if you would agree.
Oh yeah, definitely. We were the most entertaining team to play. We played in the 4-2-3-1. Totti as a lone striker. Very entertaining, lots of goals. I think you could also feel the absence of Juventus. Of course, they came back for that season, but you could feel that we were in the aftermath of Calciopoli. But also, it's important to remember, we won the Coppa Italia in 2007 in a very comprehensive fashion against Inter. So, and that was the last final with two legs. So we won the first game 6-2 and lost the second 2-1. So 7-4 aggregate, you know, very comprehensively. And that gave, of course, the team a lot of boost going into the next season for Spalletti as well, knowing that he could beat Inter when it really mattered. I mean, especially in cup competition. So we were just struggling with consistency. The league. I mean, Inter were too good in 2006-2007. But the summer was interesting because Christian Kibu
was
he was pushing for the move. He wanted a new contract, a lucrative one. We couldn't offer it. Roma had pretty much signed a pre-agreement with Real Madrid to sell him there, but he really pushed for Inter because they were going to give him, I think at that time, 4.5 million or 4 million net. euros a year, which was quite a lot. So he went there. We got Andreoli and some co-ownership in return. We signed Juan as his replacement for Leverkusen, who unfortunately came. First of all, he played in Copa America, and when he came back, he was injured. So we were struggling a bit with his with that move. And then we signed. Which other players did we sign? We signed Esposito from Cagliari, who was actually coming up from a poor season, but he had a very good season in 2004-05. When I believe Lecce were playing with under Zeman, because that was a season. No, they weren't. I'm mixing with Lecce now. He played for Cagliari, Lucinic, but he had a very good season. But he was coming up from a poor season. And there was another player we were interested in who went to Inter, David Suazo, who was very good for Cagliari.
Oh,
God,
yes. Yeah.
In 2006, 2007. We signed some other players. We signed Cicinho in late
we
August.
Did,
he was
yes.
like, he was like our big signing. That was the signing that all the fans turned up for at Fiumicino, the airport in Rome. And
I'm forgetting one more.
I'm forgetting one more.
Chilean.
David Perez. Yeah, but he was just signed permanently because he played for us. He played for us in 2006, 2007. So we had him. We signed him permanently under ownership. But he had played for us in the season before. But we signed Ahmed Barroso from Rimini. He was a very promising player in Serie B. Unfortunately, he had a very serious injury early in 2006, but showed promising signs, so we signed him, but it didn't really materialize. We signed some young players. We signed Antunes from Passos Ferreira, who was a very promising Portuguese player. Didn't really turn out so well. I think those were the players.
He's still playing now, by the way.
Yeah,
he's still at Passos de Ferreira. He's had a, let's just say, an interesting career. When he was at Roma, I don't think he actually played for Roma. He was on loan at Lecce, Liejois in Portugal, Livorno, Palianos, then went to Paços de Ferreira, Malaga on loan, Malaga permanently, Dinamo Kiev, Getafe on loan, Getafe permanently, Sporting, and then back to Paços de Ferreira. Did he ever sign for Genoa? There was a rumor I think he was up.
He was Malaga. I remember he was playing the Champions League or Europa League.
Yes.
Whatever. He was there. But
I didn't mean to interrupt you as well. Sorry.
I think it was the Mercato was okay. We, of course, it was we didn't want to lose Kivu, but that was what happened. And the first game of the season was the Supercoppa, the official game.
Yeah, Roma won. It was a Daniele De Rossi penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a penalty. We won the Supercoppa, our first Supercoppa since 2001. Which we won against Fiorentina then.
I wanted to mention the squad. There was also, Roma did also sign Ludovic Juli from Barcelona.
We did.
And that was a massive signing. And Mirko Vucinic, who signed in the January of 2007 on this co-ownership deal, had a not so great first 6 months, but this is the latter half of this season was the breakout season.
Yeah, we signed him in the summer of 2006, he was injured, struggled.
That's yeah.
And then, but towards the end of 2007, he was really good.
I'm just looking at this now, Matteo Brighi.
Came back from loan.
From his loan from Chievo. Yeah, Marco Cassetti was signed on his full co-ownership. Juan, Edgar Alvarez. Do you remember Edgar Alvarez when he came back from Messina? He was a Honduras What would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah.
Midfielder,
I remember it.
Attacking midfielder,
yeah,
right winger.
He used to play a lot in the 2005-2006 season when we really struggled with
injuries.
The Mercato ban. You know, injuries, and we also had a Mercato ban. We couldn't sign players, and he was one of the players that played a lot during that season.
When you were talking about Mauro Esposito earlier, I was thinking of Francesco Tavano, who was signed in that winter transfer
yeah,
window,
January,
2007.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was Tavano, Willemson. They were signed alone, but didn't become permanent.
Right, I wanted to talk about the squad. This is the squad that Roma had, and it was stacked. Four goalkeepers, three right backs. Wow, it's just wonderful. Gianluca Curci, Carlo Zotti, Julio Sergio, Donny. Donny is a. We could do a podcast about Donny and himself. A mercurial goalkeeper, I thought back in the time, who actually had a good career, didn't he? He went to Liverpool after he went to Roma. Yeah. It was Roma's number one. Christian Panucci, Cicinho, Juan, Philippe Mexes, Marco Andreoli, Antunes, Mattia Ferrari, Max Tonetto, Marco Cassetti, David Pizarro. This midfield is just stacked. Mm. David Pizarro, Alberto Aquilani, Rodrigo Tadai, Ludovic Giuli, Daniele De Rossi, Simone Perotta, Mancini, Matteo Brighi, Vucinic, Francesco Totti, Mauro Esposito, and a young player called Claudio Della Penna.
Yeah, didn't play much.
I think he's still playing now.
Well,
no,
I think he retired from football because he just lost it in the end. The interest.
Lost it. Just a lot of football players do. And that was a strong, strong team. Spalletti's 4-2-3-1. So, first game of the season, as you mentioned, 19th of August 2007. God, that was such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Roma won the game 1-0 thanks to a Daniele De Rossi penalty, refereed by the legend of Roberto Rossetti. And then it just clicked, didn't it, in Serie A? Like, they're unbeaten in the first five games of the season with the wins away against Palermo, against Siena at home, Regina, the 2-2 against Juventus. I remember watching it on terrestrial TV because it was shown on Channel 5 over here in the UK. And they battered Juventus. Totti scoring two great goals. I think one was one a penalty.
Both of them. But that was when it was after that game that Juventus decided, you know, Criscito is never going to play for Juventus again.
Yeah, because he got bullied.
Oh yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah, like Trezeguet and Vincenzo Iaquinta scored like 2 minutes
such
left.
Such a flu goal, yeah. Such a flu
yeah,
goal.
Yeah, just floated over Doni. I remember watching the game. Chiellini was like booked late on. Iaquinta, Crescito, De Rossi, Totti scored two great goals. I remember watching the highlights about a week ago, and then it wasn't a penalty. But then they got a 2-2 draw away at Fiorentina. Mancini, Giuli scored. Donadell got sent off. The legend of Gamberini at centre-half.
And then
Andrea Mutu scoring a penalty with 10 minutes left. Then came the first of only four defeats this season in Serie A for Roma, which was the 4-1 home loss to Inter, which was curtailed with a red card for Ludovic Giuli for the handball, which Zlatan scored, and which Doni should have saved the penalty.
Yeah.
Like, Zlatan scored. Like, the three of the goals were just outstanding. Like, Crespo scored, Julio Cruz, who we talked about, Ivan Cordoba, and then Simone Perotta got one, scored for Roma when it was 1-1. Like, that's a decent start to the season after six games, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this game, of course, it was a harsh defeat in the end. But, you know, playing with a man down for almost 60 minutes, two-thirds of the game, it was a bit expected. We managed to get the equalizer, but then they just rolled over us. So it was always going to be difficult. But if you look at the opening six game and take that into context, It was a pretty decent start to the season. It's interesting you mentioned Cruz. It's the second retro podcast we do,
We
and
did
Cruz
in
scored
a
in
week,
both of
yeah.
them.
Yeah, I think he had a. He, I really rated him as a striker. I think he was a very underrated striker for Bologna and Inter, and scored some very clutch goals for both clubs. And I think he played for Feyenoord as well in the Champions League
before coming to Bologna. That was
He always scored. He just scored some very clutch goals, but yeah, I think he had a knack for scoring against Roma. But I think overall, after like the first six games, like Roma picked up 3 wins, 2 draws, and 1 defeat. Like after that, they would go on till literally like 3-4 months without losing in Serie A, and just went on this crazy run when they beat Parma. You have to remember the chaotic 4-4 game against Napoli.
Oh yeah. that was chaotic indeed. Again, it was, you know, when Pizarro scored the 4-3, you thought, it's in the bag now, it's sealed, it's done. And then Zalaeta with the equalizer, he was an interesting player because he used to always score clutch goals for Juventus in the knockout stages in the Champions League 4 or 5 years prior to this game. And then he didn't play much. He was a backup reserve. I remember he scored an important goal against Real Madrid back in the days for Juventus. So, yeah, that game ended 4-4.
Yes. He scored in the Champions League. Was it a semi-final for Juventus against Real Madrid in 03?
Yeah, he did. And he scored once in the extra time as well. It was
The following, was it 2004, 2005 season in the quarter? Oh, my God. This is my time of watching Italian football and Champions League. I think he scored in the second leg against Real Madrid.
He did. I think it was 2002, 2003.
Yeah. Oh, that Juventus team was too good in that era. But we won't talk about that era. But then, just like a few days later, 8 days later, because there's the Champions League group, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
Roma won 2 games in a week. One against AC Milan, Mirko Vucinic scoring another clutch goal. He scored a lot of clutch goals. And
yeah.
Roma beating Lazio 3-2 in the derby.
Yeah. That was a very, very memorable week. 2 games in a row. Important wins. And that was our second win against Milan at San Siro in a row, because we won before as well. And we hadn't won that, you know, when we won there in 2006, we hadn't won there in a long time. So that was different times. Of course, like we said, Milan, who, you know, we have to remember, they were the Champions League winners. They were the reigning champions in the Champions League. Mm. We beat them that year. So they weren't that bad, but we still have the aftermath of Calciopoli.
Yeah, so they beat Liverpool in the Champions League final the previous season, excuse me. But yeah, it's just like, that was another clutch result. Like Vucinic scoring against Milan and Lazio in the space of 3 days. That Milan team was quite stacked as well.
It was. Wasn't it typical that Giovinco scored a last-minute equaliser
for
the following game?
And Roma were 2-0 up.
We were 2-0 up. We dropped 2 points. That was quite common for Roma to do that time, unfortunately. You know, we had a lot of game where we had a little, we really managed to bury the game. You know, we conceded. You know, if you look at the Juventus game, we were 2-1 up. Fiorentina game, 2-1 up. Napoli game, 4-3 up.
4-3.
Empoli, you know, 2-0 up. You go to the Livorno, okay, we were 1-0 up. But Tristan scored right after, so it was... so, you know, it's the same theme which goes around in these games, that we didn't manage to close the games. We're cynical enough.
Yeah, clinical, not in front of goal. But yeah, you mentioned like some points drop. So after the Empoli game, they beat Genoa 2-0 thanks to two goals from Rodrigo Tadei. Christian Panucci with a late goal for Roma against Genoa away at the Stadio Luigi Ferraris. They beat Udinese 2-1. Juan and Rodrigo Tadei. You mentioned the Livorno game. Daniele De Rossi scoring, and then Diego Tristan, the legend of Diego Tristan,
The legend.
who starred for Deportivo La Coruña in their conquer of winning La Liga in Spain. Yeah, absolute player and a half. 0-0 against Torino, and then they ended the year with a 2-0 win against Sampdoria, which Francesco Totti scoring both goals. A good end to the year. Should we talk about the Champions League group? Because we are halfway
That's
through the
good.
season. Champions League group. Manchester United were reunited again. So in this Champions League group, it was Manchester United, Roma, Sporting CP, and Dinamo Kiev. Dinamo, not like AEK Athens in the last group, which we
Oh,
talked about. They had 6 points from six games. Unfortunately, Dinamo Kiev had nil pois from six. So they had played six, won none, drawn none, lost six, goals for four, goals against 19, minus 15 goal difference. Sporting, who finished third, were transferred, were finished third, so they went to the UEFA Cup. Manchester United and Roma topped the group. Man United played six, won five, drawn one, lost none. Roma played six, won three, drawn two, lost one. The sole loss was the defeat to Manchester United at Old Trafford.
Again, we dominated. We had a lot of chances. We missed a lot of chances. Mauro Esposito had a really good chance. I believe we missed a penalty too from Daniel De Rossi. Or am I mixing the games?
I think he did, yeah. Was in the first half.
I think it was in the first half. It was a cheap penalty, but we or. Or am I mixing it with them? Because we met them again. We met them so many times that year in a space of 12 months, and we
Let
played
me have a
against each
look.
other 6 times.
Let me
It
have
could
a
have
look.
been, it could. It, I think I'm mixing it with the quarterfinals again. But
Let me have a
I
look.
remember that we had a lot of chances.
This is good airtime. That Champions League one, it wasn't too bad. Like they started off with the win against Dynamo Kiev, which was it was two goals by Totti. Oh no, Simone Prato and Totti, sorry, which led Graeme Souness to have a go at Totti on Sky Sports, which I still to this day, you can find the clip on YouTube, by the way, 2007. And it was just baffling. It's like, oh yeah, he was like a nothing sort of player. And it's just like, oh, you cannot be kidding me. But no,
So we beat Sporting, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that was
We beat Sporting. That was the first, that was Mirko Vucinic scoring right near the end with 20 minutes left.
And then we scored in we played them against in the return leg, match day four. We took the lead through Cassetti. They reversed and took the lead 2-1. Two goals by Leedson. He was also a funny player back then. And then injury time, own goal by Anderson Polga. And this is the same guy that Franco Sensi wanted to buy, that we mentioned in the last podcast. He wanted to buy this guy in the summer of 2002, but he ended up going to Sporting. So he did somehow, come out good in the end for Roma in one way or another.
Yeah, it did. And then they went away to Kiev and won 4-1. Christian Panucci, Ludovic Julian, two goals from Mirko Vucinic. Bangura. Oh, Ismail Bangura. I remember Ismail Bangura, a Guinean football player. Guinean forward, bloody hell, Scott English. And then they ended the group stage with a 1-1 draw against Manchester United, which
a meaningless game. Yeah. Roma couldn't win the group. Both of them were qualified. Roma couldn't win the group. But Manchester United played with a very, a bit reserved players who didn't play that much. We also rested some players. But
Gerard Pique scoring for Manchester United that evening. And Amantino Mancini scoring for Roma. So that meant, we'll talk about this game in a sec.
Yeah.
Roma played Real Madrid.
Yeah, we're playing Real Madrid in the round of 16. It was, it didn't start out so well. Real Madrid took the lead with a deflected goal. Guti shot reflected through Raul, 1-0. But we scored through very hard, not too long after, Pizarro off the crossbar, deflected again off the crossbar in. And then we managed to build the momentum in the game. And then in the second half, I mean, that first touch from Totti and the assist to Mancini.
Mancini, oh.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, my days. What a goal.
Yeah. And but, you know, this time around, it was a memorable win. But we were a bit cautious because, you know, we had, the year before, we had also won 2-1 against Manchester United, but then we were battered 7-1.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, so we were a bit cautious and we went into the second leg. Tactically, very solid, very disciplined performance. We kept it very tight. We didn't allow Real Madrid to do much. And then Marco Toneto cross, Tadej header, 1-0 Roma. And then I was like, wow, this could be happening.
It's happening. It's happening.
Yeah. And then just before Pepe got sent off, so around Madrid with a player down. But then they scored the equalizer, which was very clearly offside. No VAR back then. So we still had 15 minutes left plus extra time. And a lot of, you know, nerves. Real Madrid did create some chances, but ultimately we managed to score through a Panucci cross from a free kick and Vucinic header. And then, you know, when that ball went in, that was injury time. You know, nobody could take us because Real Madrid needed 3 goals. And we were like two minutes at a time. That win was so majestic. It was so important. It was it was everything.
My favorite. That was my favorite Roma performance in Europe in that era. That was such a great win.
It's hard to disagree.
It was like. The Vucinic goal was one of my favourites because he just steeped a header in front of Casillas, and I think, was it Sergio Ramos? He just got in between those two and headed home. Like for the first goal, Rodrigo Tadai just come from nowhere after a Toneto cross. Like Aquilani was unbelievable in this game.
He was, yeah.
I watched the highlights. On this on YouTube, I think you still find if they haven't taken it down. But that was like Roma's first win at the Bernabeu in like 7 years because we were talking on WhatsApp earlier.
Yeah, the game that didn't happen.
the infamous 4-2 game where 2004 Champions League, was it the second group game or was it the first group? I think it was the second.
It was the second. Because we lost the first one against Dynamo Kiev.
After what happened. Yeah. Mr. Frisk getting hit.
Yeah.
With a lighter. Which meant Roma played their remaining two games behind closed door and had an absolute horrid Champions League run. But Roma were tuning up in that game. De Rossi and Cassano scored. And then at 2-1, let's just say Real Madrid were given a penalty which Juventus would have been proud of during the era in the mid to late 90s, where there was a slight push by Christian Panucci on Raul, and I was watching it earlier and I was just laughed. Questionable penalty, but no, it was Roma's first win in the Bernabeu. Was it since 2001? Was it 2002?
2002. We didn't win in one. We played 1-1 in 2001.
Yes.
We won in 2002, which we spoke about in the last pod. It was a 2000. It was a memorable 1-0 win. Francesco.
And then they got to play a team which they played six times.
Yeah.
They ended up playing six times. And then they got Cristiano Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney. To be honest, this Manchester United side, I watched a lot of Premier League football during this era. Manchester United 2007 to 2009 were the best team to watch, bar Barcelona. Yeah. They were unbelievable. And they went on to win this Champions League on penalties against Chelsea. But Ronaldo, Rooney...
They were our kryptonite. And that... goal by Cristiano Ronaldo, I think it's one of the best headers I've seen ever. I mean, that
it's
bullet header. That's like, I mean, the pace in which he comes into the header, the jump, he completely destroyed Cassetti. And it was 1-0 up, and then they scored the second goal in Rooney in the second half. Yeah. It was pretty much done and dusted.
Yeah. Second leg was Manchester United win 1-0. This is the game you were talking about earlier where Daniele De Rossi missed the penalty.
Yes.
It was this game. Yeah, he missed it a half hour. Carlos Tevez scoring for Manchester United in the 70th minute. I'm trying to think who they played in the semi-final.
Manchester United, they played Barcelona.
Paul Scholes, yes, that's it. And Chelsea played Liverpool, if I'm not mistaken.
Chelsea played Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah, an epic game at Stamford Bridge, which ended up 4-4. But overall, that's not a bad Champions League campaign. In the final way against a team who were... against the Manchester United team in that era, 2009. They won the Premier League 2006-07, 7-08 and 08-09, and were just unbelievable. Chelsea won it 09-10, and they were just they would flip-flop, and it was just amazing. Were just unbelievable. This is the era where Ronaldo just kicked onto another gear at Manchester United and was just like... They was just on a different planet. They played this fluid front three of Ronaldo, Rooney and Tevez, and it was just like, wow. It's just, words could not describe it. If you ever get the chance to watch stuff on YouTube, if you go down that YouTube wormhole that I sometimes do, you won't regret watching some of this stuff. But Champions League run, not bad. Quarterfinals, back-to-back quarterfinals, but the previous year they did a lot better against Manchester United.
Yeah.
They weren't World 8-3 on aggregate. They lost 3-0 on aggregate, not 8-3. But no, that's the Champions League done. They did get to the end of the Coppa Italia, which we'll talk about at the end. But the second part of the year is for Roma is where it was a bit hit and miss. They lost three games. But the loss is the 3-0 away at Siena, which was a shock. Yeah, a complete shock. Mario Frick scoring right at the end. Max Tonetto scoring an own goal. Alex Malinger in goal for Siena. This is just giving me all nostalgia. Is it Paolo? Oh my God. Vergasola. Oh my God. Yeah, okay. That's all right. And then they lost to Juventus 1-0. Alex Del Piero. That was a free kick, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was.
And then they lost the derby in an absolute crazy derby, 3-2, which I watched the highlights of this not so long ago. Didn't Valeron Barami score with his face?
He scored, in the last minute.
Last minute,
injury time.
Celebrating the cover. Rodrigo Tadei gave Rem the lead. Then Alex Kolarov, Goran Pandev, Alex Kolarov was actually playing in this game. So it was Sebastian Sevilla. Do you want to talk about him afterwards, Imran, and his little scuffle with Totti, ex-Roma player to one current Roma player at the time? Rodrigo Tadei, Goran Pandev, Tommaso Rocchi scored a penalty. Five minutes later, Simone Perotta scored. And then Valeron Barami scored in the 92nd minute.
That was a bitter defeat.
But during these, in between these games, like I talk about the Inter Milan game, like Roma started the year pretty well with three wins, away at Atalanta, where they had to dig in deep and come back from behind, and they scored two goals at the end of the first half. They beat Catania 2-0. Ludovic Giuli and Daniele De Rossi beat Palermo 1-0. Mancini scored, so they beat teams that they were supposed to beat. They beat Regina, beat Fiorentina. The heartbreak at the San Siro.
Yeah, it was a heartbreak because we deserved to win. We were 1-0 up. It was
Totti scored.
Very iconic because it was against it was Christian Kibu who was defending and had marked Totti, but he scored with a perfect left-footed volley. And then Maxis was sent off. Very harsh sending off. Very harsh.
Two yellows in a minute.
Yeah, it was never a sending off. Should have never been a yellow card. And then Zanetti scored, 2 minutes from the end.
Good goal. That was a really good goal.
Fair. He never scores, but he decided to score that game. It was very frustrating, but it was very frustrating to see a referee like that. And, this was also a time in which Inter got a lot of favorable refereeing decision in their other games, penalties, etc., etc. But, moving on from that game, we won 4-0 against Parma and then two strong wins before the derby loss.
Yeah, Napoli, Simone Perotta and Francesco Totti. Was this Napoli's first season back?
It was Napoli's first season back, yeah, because Juventus, Napoli and Genoa got promoted.
That's it, yes. We could talk about Genoa's, because 2 years prior. Yeah.
When they got promoted.
The match fixing scandal.
Yeah.
And then they beat AC Milan in an epic Saturday night game, which I remember watching on a dodgy stream, which you could do back in the day.
If you go to YouTube and search up, I think the highlights are still there with Richard Whittle.
They are, as a commentator. Yes.
And, he can't hide the fact. He can't hide the fact that he's a Roma fan. I mean, just look at that commentary when Kaká scores. He's like, "Oh, Kaká scores." that's it. And then when Giuli scores the equalizer, and then Vucic, he goes berserk. He's like, he completely loses it. And I was like, I wasn't so too familiar with him back then. I was like, man, this guy, he must be a Roma fan because the way he's doing. And then, it was a bit, I'm sure they didn't have many commentators back then, but it was a bit, strange that allowed him to have that game. Him being a Roma fan. Yeah, yeah. But it was funny. You should check it up on YouTube, though, for those of you who haven't.
To be honest, I'm sounding like repeating myself. That was one of the matches I wanted to watch because I remember watching it and like that AC Milan team, Gattuso, Kaká, Pato. Oh,
yeah.
Just unbelievable. And Roma were 1-0 down. Kaká scored. Great goal. Ludovic Giuli scored with like a close range finish. And then this through ball to Mirko Vucinic from the right and he broke the offside trap. And just calmly finished. It was such a great goal.
Yeah.
And then there was the derby defeat. And then Roma ended the season unbeaten. It's like
three draws, yeah.
Yeah. The two draws were the killers before that. the Cagliari game. Yeah,
especially the Livorno one.
Livorno one as well. 2 days after my 21st birthday. Cheers for that. Daniele Orsato refereed that game. Jeez. Cagliari, the game in against Cagliari was frustrating because they battered them. Aquilani had that chance right near the end and he went for that flick finish instead of belting it into the top corner from close range.
Yeah.
I should have scored. Like, Ferrari scored an own goal and Totti scored on half time. You had that epic, epic Genoa game where Tadai and Vucinic scored. Vucinic scored that wonderful left-footed goal.
Yes.
This is his run in the game. If I'm not mistaken, was Totti injured in the Coppa Italia?
Yeah, Totti was injured.
Was it against Catania he picked up that injury?
Yeah, it could have been, but because he was out for he didn't play against Manchester United. He was injured. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and like Vucinic scored that great goal, De Leon and everyone's favourite Marco Rossi, favourite Genoa player, scored twice in 2 minutes. Daniele De Rossi scoring like a penalty with 10 minutes left. Oh, just absolute bedlam. Remember what this was another Saturday evening game, and I remember coming back. I think I was at football and came back to watch this. A week later. Go to Stadio Ferruli, 1-0 down, Di Natale, and then three great goals at the end. Mirko Vucinic, Rodrigo Tadai, Ludovic Giuli, and then it's the Livorno game, which I think you said it to me on WhatsApp. That was the missed chance, the golden
opportunity. That was the moment, yeah. That was the moment.
Mr. Diamante in a free kick, top corner.
Yeah, and we completely killed them during the game with all the chances. We just couldn't bury the game. Just like I said earlier, late equalizer.
Story of Roma's season.
Yeah.
Final four games, 10 points, 4-1 win over Torino. Pizarro, Vucinic, two goals from Mancini, Juan sent off. Ventola, that's Nicola Ventola, scored for Torino. 3-0 away win, which was pivotal because at this time Inter were dropping points against Sampdoria. All three goals scored in a 10-minute span with Christian Pinucci, Davide Pizzaro and Cicinho scoring. Final home game of the season was a 2-1 win over Atalanta where Christian Pinucci and Daniele De Rossi scored. Gianpaolo Bellini scored for Atalanta. So final game of the season. Inter travelled to Parma. Roma travelled to Catania. And for about 35, 40 minutes, Roma were top of the league. Mirko Vucinic scored after 8 minutes. But then Catania laid siege on the Roma goal in the second half and scored 5 minutes again from the end. Jorge Martinez, did he play for Juventus after?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
He did.
That's the guy.
That's the guy who scored from close range. And Parma lost 2-0 at home to Inter, which meant Inter won the league by 3 points.
Yeah, for us, it was already done. So, because Inter had won 2-0. And, Catania, they really needed to win this game, or they needed to at least draw to be able to save their season, not get problems. And that was the moment which ultimately kept them alive. That equalizer, yep. Otherwise they would have been relegated. Yeah.
They would have been relegated.
Play for.
Yeah, so they finished 17th with 37 points. The three teams that got relegated were Empoli, Parma and Livorno. And I'm actually looking at this table now. It's absolutely bonkers. It's bonkers. So Inter won the league, 85 points. Roma, heartbreak. They lost the league by 3 points on the final day, 82. Juventus and Fiorentina qualified for the Champions League third qualifying round. So Juventus' first season, so 06-07, first season back in Serie A after winning Serie B the previous season. They finished third with 72 points. Fiorentina, fourth with 66. Milan, Sampdoria, and Udinese qualified for the Europa League, but it's a UEFA Cup. And then Napoli qualified for the Intertoto Cup.
Yeah, and that was something back then.
That was something back then. And then Atalanta, like the top 10 were Atalanta and Genoa. Lazio finished 12th.
Yeah, they were struggling.
There's one competition which we haven't talked about. It's where Roma won. It's the Coppa Italia. And they nearly could have went out in the first round.
Yeah.
They lost the first leg 3-1 away at Torino. Mancini, a Rakoba. Oh my God, Alvaro Rakoba was playing for Torino. And Gianluca Comotto scored. Comotto scored with like 2 minutes left. But they won the second leg 4-0 and scored all the four goals in a span of half hour, with Mancini, Totti scoring twice, and Ludovic Juli. In the quarterfinals, Sampdoria, first leg 1-0. I remember watching this. I think Reto Ziegler scoring for Samp, and then Mirko Vucinic scoring for Roma. Won the second leg 1-0, semi-final. Catania. First, there was a 3-week gap in between, which was...
They
won the first leg. Totti scored on half, just after half time, and then they went through with Alberto Aquilani scoring a penalty in the second leg, and Silvestri scoring in the not long after. So they won 2-1 on aggregate, which meant for the second season in a row they played Inter Milan, and this time it was a one-legged final at the Stadio Olimpico. Philippe Mexe scoring that wonderful goal. That wonderful, wonderful volley.
Yeah.
Simone Perrotta in the second half, 2-0. And a guy called Pele. Victor Hugo Gomez Pachos, known as Pele, made it 2-1. But Roma held out and then won another Coppa Italia.
Yeah, the ninth.
Absolute scenes. And then they've beat Inter in two domestic trophies to win the Super Cup and the Coppa Italia. But they couldn't do it for a third time.
Yeah.
Do you remember much of the final?
Oh, the which one?
Coppa Italia.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to win. I remember watching it live. Don't think it was televised in the UK, and you had to watch it on a dodgy streams, as we all did back in the day in the mid to late 2000s when things weren't broadcast. But it was a good win for Roma. It was back-to-back titles in this era where Roma and Inter battled it out for, like, in 06-07, Roma won the Coppa Italia after that epic 6-2 first leg win, and lost 2-1 in the second leg. Then they won the Super Cup. They've won the Coppa Italia again. But this was like an era where Roma and Inter battled each other to win trophies in Serie A.
Yeah, that was when Roma and Inter were the two best teams in Serie A, and it was a shame we didn't win the 07-08. Because we were, that squad deserved so much better. That season deserved so much better. But unfortunately, it was meant to be. We shouldn't take away anything from Inter, because that was a very complete squad. That was Mancini's last season, because Mourinho was taking over from him that summer of 2008.
He came in and won the two league titles, and then he won the treble in the following season.
Yeah.
Right. I've got top goal scorers, as we did last week.
Trezeguet?
Or Del Piero? Del Piero was first, Trezeguet was second. Sorry, we'll do top 10 because it is top 10. Who was number three? And this is an ex-Roma striker.
Borriello.
Correct. There was three players tied for fourth. Was 17. One is Italian, one is Swedish, one is Romanian. That's giving it away.
Swedish has to be Ibrahimovic, who was not the Swede back correct. Then. Romanian must be Adrian Mutu, who was scoring those correct. late penalties against Roma. Italian, oh, could be anyone. Pass.
If I say his name in English, you'll get it away. Tony Christmas.
Di Natale. Antonio Di Natale.
Di Natale. Yeah. There was two Brazilians with 15 goals. One played for Palermo, one played for AC Milan.
AC Milan, Brazilian, has to be Kaká, because Pato came
in January,
so he couldn't have scored that many goals.
Correct.
Palermo, Brazilian.
Yes.
At that time, Brazilian.
Yes. Who may have converted to Italian afterwards.
Yeah. Amaury.
Who went to play for Juventus, Parma, Fiorentina. Correct.
Yeah.
And there was a Roman Lazio theme for joint ninth or 10th. With 14 goals, one Macedonian, two Italians.
Macedonian has to be Pandev.
Correct.
For Roma, it was Italian Totti.
Correct.
Lazio. Who did Lazio have back then? I don't know who Lazio had.
Do you want me to give it to you? That's on the stroke. That was struck. Do you want me to give the answer to you?
Give it to me.
Sound like Dave Bautista. Give it to me. Tommaso Rocchi.
Rocchi, yeah. The legend of Rocchi.
The legend of Rocchi. I am looking at the sacked managers as well. I'm actually looking at the managers. Sorry. This is the head coaches in Serie A in this era. And this is quite a good era of Italian football as well. Atalanta, Luigi Del Neri. Cagliari, Marco Giampaolo, and he was sacked in November 2007. Nedo Zanetti, and he was sacked in December 2007. And the current Sassuolo manager or coach, Davide Ballardini. Yeah. Catania, did you know who Catania were managed at the end of that season when they drew with Roma?
Oh, I don't remember. They had Silvio Baldini.
Silvio Baldini was first. It was Walter Zenga.
Ah, yeah, Zenga. Zenga with the cap. He was the one who saved them from relegation.
Yeah. And wasn't it Diego Simeone come in the following year?
No, that was in 2011 because he, 2011. I remember, after that Catania game, he went back to Argentina to coach.
Was it Racing or River?
No, not River. It must have been Racing or...
Estudiantes. I remember him managing
something like that. And then 6 months later, he went to Atletico Madrid.
And then he's been there ever since?
Yeah, he has.
So, Empoli, Luigi Cagni was in charge for a first until November 2007. Alberto Malassani, the legend of Alberto Malassani. Whoever... Just go on YouTube and watch his Panathinaikos press conference. It is translated into English. You'll have 5 or 6 minutes and it's just one of the best things you'll ever see. Luigi Cagni came back in March 2008. Fiorentina, Cesare Pandelli. Genoa, Giampiero Gasperini. Inter was Roberto Mancini and this was his final year. Juventus, Claudio Ranieri.
Yes, very good season. He got that job because he saved Parma from relegation the season before.
Yeah, he saved Parma in the final
six in February.
Giuseppe Rossi up front. Lazio had Delio Rossi, Livorno had Fernando Orsi, Giancarlo Camolesi, and then Fernando Orsi come again. Milan had Carlo Ancelotti. Eddie Reja at Napoli. Palermo had Stefano Cantuono and Francesco Guidolin. Domenico Di Carlo, Hector Cooper, Andrea Mazzo at Parma. Massimo Ficcadenti, Renzo Ilveri, Nievo Orlandi at Regina. Roma had Luciano Spalletti. Sampdoria had Walter Mazzari. Siena had Andrea Mandolini and Mario Barretta. Walter Navellino at Torino and Gianni Di Biasi. And Udinese and Pasquale Marino. Yeah, that Udinese
he was quite promising. Yeah, he was a promising coach. I remember he was very interesting when he played very attacking football with Catania when they came back. And then his career just stagnated, unfortunately.
He's had a lot of
Pasquale Marino was an interesting coach back then.
He's at Bari now.
Yeah, but he's been a journeyman.
Oh, he's actually been sacked at Bari. Yeah, he's had the ultimate journeyman. So what was your feeling at the end of 2007-2008? Because in that summer 2008, the sort of team didn't get ripped apart, but they had to sell one key player, and it was Amantino Mancini to Inter.
Yeah, the problem that season was that Spalletti had met with Abramovich in Monaco.
Oh, yes, at Chelsea. Yes, I remember this. Yes.
Yeah, it was Ancelotti and Spalletti, because Ancelotti wrote about this incident in his biography. When he went there to Monaco, he saw Spalletti and was like, "What are you doing here?" And he's like, "What are you doing here?" And then they ended up knowing that both of them were going to meet Abramovich, because he was interviewing different candidates, getting to know them. But this, of course, upset the squad, and especially senior players, Totti, De Rossi. And you had an incident in the preseason in August where De Rossi's father-in-law, who was a mobster back then,
he got killed, and
De Rossi was forced to play that friendly against Tottenham, which he wasn't pleased about. Ultimately, of course, he broke up with Tamara, who was his partner back then. But this led to conflicts in the squad. The squad was not happy. I think that was the reason why the 2008-2009 season was a difficult one for Roma. And he managed to make peace with the squad, but it was never going to be the same again, because when the season ended, Juventus were seriously considering appointing Spalletti. It was between Ciro Ferrara and Spalletti. Mm. And they wanted Spalletti to give him the answer by a certain date, and he decided to stay, having spoken with the squad. But then he left 2 days into the 2009 season. So it was that summer was basically the end of an era for Spalletti's first spell. If you look at the success he had achieved the past 2 years.
Yeah, because he left after the Juventus game in 2009, the 3-1 defeat where Diego, the legend of Diego, who was a star in Germany, but flopped in Italy, scored two goals and was just Felipe Melo in that Juventus midfield. And then Roma, it's a season that I've been told on La Magicast they don't want to talk about, the 09-10. We won't talk about it. But then Spalletti came back in 2016 for glorious 16 months and nearly won the title again for Roma.
Yeah, you did. But again, there was something lacking, as always.
As yeah, there is with Spalletti in Roma and Spalletti in general, he falls out with players, and
Yeah.
he fell out with Totti. But 2007, 2008 is a year I like to go back in time and watch some highlights on YouTube, and you can do that, guys, and just look at some classic Serie A. Do you look fondly back at the time in 2007 and 08?
I do. It was a perfect time. Generally, also in life, I think, yeah, we were 20 years old back then, 2021. It was,
Yep, both of us.
yeah, we were young. We had the best, we were in our 20s. We just entered our 20s, and it was a good time. It was a good time to be alive, to put it, in a very dramatic way. But yeah, I had fun following Roma back then. I was very active with the Norwegian Roma website back then, and which led to ultimately us forming the official supporters club in 2010. So I was very active, and I had lots of fun following Roma back then.
I think I was on this Italian football forum, calcio.uk.co.uk, which was quite used quite a lot. That was a fun time, and just talking
Yeah.
about Italian football and just in general. Also, we had a Euros that year,
Yeah,
which was won by
we're going to speak
Spain.
about that. Italy lost
I actually quite,
penalties to Spain,
yeah, that was a
if I'm
good
not
Spain team.
mistaken.
Italy got through that group with France as well, didn't they? And
Yeah, they
yeah,
went
just a
1-2-0 against France.
France, was it France, Romania, and was it Netherlands?
Yeah,
Think it was the Netherlands,
Netherlands.
and
It
then
was the Netherlands.
Netherlands got, yeah, Holland or Netherlands got destroyed by Russia.
They did.
And Spain won the tournament overall. But no, it was a good era, a good year for Roma. And then we got the doldrums of finishing sixth the previous year. But they did beat Chelsea in the Champions League that in 08, 09. And they lost on penalties to Arsenal.
Yeah, that Giulio Baptista miss an extra time, and then
Yeah, extra
sloppy
time, yeah.
penalties. It
Vucinic,
just
Max
was.
Donato. Yeah. But no.
Yeah, we ended the
In
game
that.
with Riise and Diamutene in
Oh,
centre
yeah,
backs.
centre
That
defence.
was
Oh, my God. Yeah.
crazy.
The less we talk about that, the better. Imran, I think that pretty much wraps it up. Do you have anything else
Yeah,
to add?
no, that's perfect.
Right, guys. You can follow us at lamagicast.com. You can find all our previous episodes, and you can find us on all podcast platforms, so your Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, etc., etc. Imran, thank you for taking us on a journey in the last two midweeks, talking about 0203 and 0708 today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you once again.
Not a problem. We'll be back after the Lecce game, which Serie A comes back over the Easter weekend, with games played on Saturday and games played on Monday, and the games are becoming quick and fast. And guess what? Both of us will be at a Europa League game in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to the
And I'm going to the second leg.
first leg.
We could just talk about ticket prices. They've jammed the ticket prices up for the Europa League, but I managed to get a ticket for the Bologna game a couple of days later for a lovely price of £31, which was €35. That is probably the equivalent of playing for a match day ticket, probably in the Championship or Premier League. It's a bit expensive, but I take it. But no, Imran, thank you so much for joining me on this Tuesday evening. We went back nostalgia again and again and again, and I loved it. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Guys, we'll be back next week to talk about the game against Lecce. Take care, enjoy the rest of your international break, enjoy the rest of your week, enjoy your Easter, and like me, if you do celebrate, enjoy the chocolate. And if you don't, just happy holidays. Take care. Ciao.
Ciao.